book of Revelation, please. I should confess to you, I actually wanted to speak first in this gospel session. My brother Jack said no to that. The fact is, he told me, listen, he said, you know who the older man is now. And so I was happy to acquiesce with that. Very happy. I've enjoyed sharing the conference with our brother, but I would have gladly opened for him in this gospel session. Let's read in Revelation, please, in chapter 22. Revelation 22, and we read from verse number 16. And it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'm going to read to you verse number 17 again. As I'm reading it, I want you to ask a question. You don't have to worry if you don't have the answer. What is it an invitation to? Listen to it again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God bless to us again further the reading of the sacred scriptures. It's about, I can hardly believe this, but there was a brother just last night was telling me, it's almost 10 years ago. I was preaching in Stout with our brother Murray McCandless 10 years ago, and there was one night he stepped forward to the platform and he said to the audience just before he read from the scriptures and before telling us where he was going to read, he said to the audience that night, he said, I want to speak to you tonight on God's favorite word. Well, I was quite intrigued. I started to profile in my own mind. Obviously, it just wouldn't be physically possible to go through all of the words of Scripture. But I started to think of the highlights of Scripture. And I started to ask myself, God's favorite word. And our brother that night read from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I started, and he started to preach that night, and he started to tell us about God's favorite word, come. Well, I kept asking myself, is this really God's favorite word? Now, obviously this isn't an interactive service, but I'll ask you tonight, what do you think? God's favorite word. Our brother that night told us at the beginning of the scriptures, God uses the word to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God uses the word in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. The Lord Jesus used the word, Matthew 11, come unto me. The Lord Jesus stood in John 6. And the Lord Jesus says in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And here we are at the end of the scriptures, and listen to it again. And him that is athirst, come. I want to let that echo through the hall today. If there's someone here that's not saved, I want to speak on five words. Him that is athirst, come. Let me speak to you again. Him that is athirst, come. You say, why are you repeating this? I'm repeating it so that when young people go home tonight, it will be indelibly imprinted in their minds. Him that is athirst, come. When young people and older people go to bed tonight, again they'll remember it. Him that is athirst, come. When you rise tomorrow morning, I hope it's still there. Him that is athirst, Come. I hope, folks, you don't forget the last invitation of Scripture. Will you say, what is it an invitation to? There's a city. In fact, it is the abode of the saints. John sees the city coming down from God out of heaven. And what a city it is. Nothing like it. 1,400 miles this way. 1,400 miles this way. 1,400 miles that way. And Christ will be there. And the last invitation of Scripture to the eternal abode of the saints. John hears Christ say, John, whatever you do, tell them the place where Christ is. The residence of God, the eternal city, him that is athirst, come. You know, folks, tonight, don't forget, we are giving you an invitation to the abode of the redeemed. We have been authorized by God to preach to you about where Christ will be. We are preaching tonight about the residence of God forever. And Christ says, right here in Revelation 22, he says, make sure you tell them and give them the invitation. Him that is athirst, come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm going to speak to you now just for a few minutes. I won't be too long, but I want to speak to you about four things. I'm going to speak to you, first of all, about a heart for all. The second thing I'm going to speak from the text is hope for all. I want to speak about a third thing, and it's a home for all. And there is a last one. I'll not mention it now. I'm just going to leave it. Obviously, by now, you know it starts with H. So you can profile it yourselves. We've got a heart for all. We've got hope for all. We've got a home for all. And I will leave one final one just until I'm almost finished. One final statement. And I want you to think, if you were preaching, what you would make it. See people smiling at me. You'll be able to profile it yourselves. And you can just tell me after if you've got a different one. Will you say this heart for all business? The Lord Jesus says, him that is athirst, come. You know, there was a day when the Savior sat upon a well. If you want the story, you can read it in John's Gospel, chapter 4. And there's a woman comes out from the city, the neighboring city, and she's coming to draw water at the well. And when she gets to that well, she sees a man that's already there. And he had taken a journey just to meet that sinful woman. I hope you appreciate he came for sinners. One of the things I will appreciate forever is that the Lord Jesus came for sinners. And you know, folks, he came for me. If you asked our brother Jack today, he would tell you he is still not over it. As a 12-year-old boy, he told us, he accepted the Lord Jesus. I was 16 when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And folks, there's a woman that comes from the city. And you see, before the day was over, she was rejoicing in this, that there was a man that came for her. You ask any Christian here, they will tell you about the Savior who came for them. Well, you say, she comes to the well. She does. And when she gets to the well, this man that she'd never seen before, he looks at her. And he looks at the vessel she had in her hand. And he says to the lady, he said, when you put that vessel into the well, and when you bring up that water, he says to her, give me to drink. She says, sir, you're a Jew. She says, me, I'm a woman of Samaria. And they didn't get along. The Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She says, sir, how is it that you're a Jew, are asking water of me, a woman of Samaria, from this well? He says to her, give me to drink. Then he says this. He says, every person that drinks of this water, they'll thirst again. But he says, if you drink of the water that I will give, you'll never thirst. You know what she said? You know what she said. As soon as the Lord Jesus said that, the woman says to him, sir, give me to drink. You say, what was he talking about? My father, he went to a farm show one day. We used to love it as kids. You're in a farming area here, so you folks know all about it. We used to love it as kids. We would go to the farm show. The only reason my brothers and I loved it was there were burger stands all over the place. And it was food. It was a food fest all day. And of course the tractors were there, and the implements were there, and the animals were there, and you were moving around freely. And I still recall, as we were moving through this farm show, there was the bar area over there, and there were people standing at the bar, and they knew my father. And they knew what he was and what he professed. And one of them standing at the bar area called to my dad, and he said, "Tom," he said, "come over." And he put a pint right there in the bar. He said, "come and have a drink." And I was thinking to myself, "you don't know what you're doing, mister." And my father looked at the man, and my father called across to him in full view of everyone in the bar. And my father said to him, called him by his name. And my father said, "on the 4th of August, 1964, I got a drink of living water, and I've never thirsted since." And the man looked at him. I think my father thought he didn't hear him. I think he repeated it. "On the 4th of August, 1964, I got a drink of living water, and I've never thirsted since." You know, you ask any of these Christians here, there are people here, and it was years ago for them. There's some folks in this building, and they're going back a good number of years when they accepted the Lord Jesus. And one of the metaphors or figures of Scripture about salvation, it's just like taking a drink of water. It's just like taking a drink of satisfying water, a thirst-quenching drink. And once a person gets Christ, they'll never thirst again. You can try sin. We've already heard about it. So great sin. And there are people in this world tonight, and they're plowing deep into the world. And some of them are trying alcohol, and some of them are trying drugs, and some of them are trying sport, and some of them are trying pleasure. And you see, when it's all over, they're thirsty still. And you see, the person that's got Christ, every person that's got the Lord Jesus, they will never thirst again. Every person that accepts Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you now, you boys that are here, have you ever had a moment when you accepted Christ? Have you ever had a moment when you trusted Christ? As the hymn writer says, have you trusted Jesus and his saving power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And here's this woman. There's a heart for all. Whether it's a Samaritan woman, John 4. Whether it's a Jewish man, John 3. Whether it's a sinful woman, John 8. Whether it's a blind man, John 9. You go right through the Scriptures. He saved others. And here in this gospel meeting tonight, there are people that Christ has saved, because there's a heart for all. Him that is athirst, come. I want to speak to you not only about a heart for all, but I want you to notice hope for all. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. It was our brother David Hunt. Some here know our brother David. Brother David Hunt was having some gospel meetings. Brother David's from Tatamagoosh, Nova Scotia. He was sitting with a lady one day. She wanted to be saved, and she actually couldn't understand it. She was trying to believe. She was trying to trust. She was trying to receive, and she was trying to get Christ. And as they're sitting at the table, David Hunt said to her, he said, "Tell me, I'm very thirsty." She said, "What?" He said, "I'm very thirsty. Is there any chance you could get me a drink?" And she left the table, and she walks into the kitchen, and she puts a glass of water right on the table, and David didn't touch it. And they keep talking. And after a few minutes, he looked at her again, and he said, "I am very thirsty. In fact, I'm so thirsty." And she looked at him quite strange, and at the glass of water, and she walked into the kitchen, and she got him another glass of water. And after a few minutes, they're talking about Christ still. And he looked at her again. And he said, "My dear, I am so, so, so thirsty." And she took that look and walked in again. And she puts a third glass down. And after a few minutes, you could almost tell the story now, couldn't you? He said to her again, he said, "You don't understand just how thirsty I am." And she looked and she said, "David, there's three glasses in front of you. You know what you got to do. Yes, he said, and so do you. Mind you, folks, hope for all. One of the great things that every gospel preacher loves is this, that there is hope for all. You go through the scriptures and you will find that there's hope for people right here in Cedar Rapids. Cedar Falls as well. You hope they're not excluded. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Whether it's in this part of Iowa, or whether it's in other parts of Iowa, or other states of the United States, or up in Canada where we come from, or across the continents of earth, there is hope for all. Wherever there are sinners, God's word is for every sinner. And God's grace reaches out and touches every human being. Listen to what the Bible says. If you don't believe me, at least believe the Bible. There's a man called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he speaks about Christ, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. You run through the golden grains of Holy Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, he tasted death for every man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. 1 John chapter 3, he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And here we are in a gospel meeting, and there's hope for all. That's the wonderful thing we are preaching. There's young people here, and there's hope for those young people. There's older ones that are here, older ladies, an older gentleman, far away from Christ. And there's hope for them this afternoon. Oh, let me tell you, him that is athirst, come. Hope for all. A heart for all. I want to speak about the third one very quickly here. I want you to notice with me that there is a home for all. What a home it is. Elaine and I, and our children, it's a few years ago now, we were down in Florida, just over the Christmas break, if we can get a chance. Frequently I'm away so much that we do try and take a chance or take a time over Christmas just to be together as a family. And we were down in the Florida area, and we were moving through part of Florida just below Orlando. And there was a man standing. It was a very sad thing. There was a man standing, and he had written a little thing just on a piece of cardboard. And he was just asking for some money. I took a look at him and I thought to myself, here he's standing and his little piece of cardboard and he's a little bag there. I think he even had a dog and he's asking for money. And I looked across at the sign for Disneyland or Disney World, whichever one it is just a few meters away. And I took a look at it and it said this, the happiest place on earth. And I said to myself, if that man took a walk to the gates of Disneyland, those gates would be closed to him. There'd be no entry for him. There's no way that they would let that man in. Him and his little dog and his little bag and his little sign. And he's asking for a few coins to keep mind and body together. And here I thought, there's the gates to the happiest place on earth. And I started to think to myself about the abode of God. You know what it says in the book of Revelation? The gates of it shall never be shut at all by day. And there is no night there. And I start to think about what heaven will be like. And this city, did you ever start to think about what the glory will be like? No tears, no sorrow, no sadness, no pain, no trouble, no anguish. You think about glory and the place, the abode of Christ. Oh, I tell you, folks, and the wonderful thing about it is this. It's the home for all, everyone that accepts Christ. Him that is athirst, come. Well, you say, what about the last one? I've gone over those as quickly as possible so I could get to this one. There is a heart for all.
There is hope for all, every sinner and any sinner, if they accept Christ. There is hope for all. There is a home for all. The last one I want to speak to you about is this. I want to speak about Him. Well, listen, I'm not even going to preach to sinners just for a minute. I want to speak to Christians. You see, when we get to this city, He's mine. Get that? Now listen, let me make that clear. When we get to the abode of God, Christ is mine. You say that's? No. It's Him for all. I was preaching with David Hurlihy just last summer. We were getting on quite well, I thought. The two of us together, every day. He was actually staying with Elaine and I. We had breakfast together. We had lunch together. Most nights we had supper together. And then during the week we'd be traveling. We're visiting in the morning, visiting in the afternoon. Some Sunday evenings we would have lunch after the meeting together. Some Chinese food some nights as well. Couldn't get much better, eh? And here we are. And at last one day, after about 3 weeks of meetings, David says to me, he says, John, Angela's coming. Oh, I said, Angela's his wife. And I thought we were getting along very well. I said, when is she coming? He says, she's going to come tomorrow. I was looking for a gospel illustration, just so you know. So I said to Brother David, I said, how is she coming? Oh, he said, she's coming on the shuttle. And she's going to get the shuttle from Prince Edward Island into Halifax. And then he said, I'll go up and pick her up. And I'll bring her to Bridgewater. I said to him, I'll come with you. And he said to me, no, you won't. And I thought, I'll try it again, because I was looking for this illustration. I said to him, David, I'll come with you. And he said, no, John, no. No, you won't. And you see, that night, if he ever preached well, and he preached well right through the series, but there was no night he preached like that night. In fact, as he was preaching that night, there was his eye just on one person, the apple of his eye. And as he was preaching, everything seemed directed at her, the very apple of his attention, all of his focus. You see, when we get to heaven, beloved saints, the focus of all heaven is Him. And it's Him for all. I know He's mine, that friend so dear. He ever lives, He's ever near. 10,000 charms around Him shine. Best of all, I know He's mine. Do you know why I love the Lord Jesus so much? The reason why I love Christ so much is this. He gave Himself for me. In dark Golgotha, enveloped in the wrath of God, He, His own self, bare our sins. And as I'm standing before you tonight, I say this. He bare my sins in His own body on the tree. Is it any wonder He says today, He says, him that is athirst, come. I hope you come this afternoon. Him that is athirst, come. And let him take the water of life freely. You trust Christ. Because there's a heart for all. You trust Christ. There is hope for all. You trust Christ. There's a home for all. And best of all, you trust Christ because it is Him for all. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow just now before Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we come, and it is with expressions of our thanksgivings. We praise Thee again for the Savior. We thank Thee again, Father, for so great salvation. Where would we be tonight if the Savior had never come? Where would we be if He had never died? Where would we be if He'd never taken away our sins? Oh God, we give our thanksgivings today, and we pray that Thou wilt remember the audience, remember the assembly here. We commend it into the tender compassion of God. Pray for Thy blessing upon our brethren and sisters, not just today, but in the days to come. And we do particularly pray for sinners, that Thou wilt both speak and save today. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing number 98, please. Hymn number 98.
in that believer's hymn book. And it says, I thirst, but not as once I did, the vain delights of earth to share. Thy wounds, Emmanuel, all forbid that I should seek my pleasure there. It was the sight of thy dear cross first weaned my soul from earthly things and taught me to esteem as dross the mirth of fools and pomp of kings. Number 98, and our meeting's over.